I trust that is each of our desire to love Jesus more and more. We're not quite satisfied where we're at. We want more. Jesus, of thee shall be my song. To thee my heart and soul belong. And a bit over 2,000 years, as Christ rode the donkey, and the people were yelling out, "Hosanna!" I think they had that same desire. They looked at Jesus as their Lord. For many, it was a short-lived thing. I'd like to look at the triumphal entry a bit this morning. The Romans also had triumphal entries. As they would return from their conquest, major victories, the general would, in ceremonial dress, drive representatives of the conquered people in front of him and the spoils of war into Rome. And when they arrived at the God's temple, there they executed at least some of the conquered people. It was a display of glory and the power of the Roman Empire. That was what was to be celebrated. The triumphant general playing the role of Jupiter, the god who had blessed the warrior with victory. Impressive displays of might and force. It was a survival of the fittest, if you please. How does that compare to the triumphal entry of our Lord as he rode into Jerusalem? In Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10, says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." Today is what we call Palm Sunday, and it has been celebrated for years in varying ways from group to group. Often we don't make a big to-do about it, and I think that's okay, but I think it's also appropriate to recognize this aspect of what Christ did for us. We notice this king, this prophecy, the king comes, he is just. He is coming to set up a government where there is no corruption. He comes having salvation. In John, it tells us that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How is that in contrast to the Roman conquerors? Lowly, a humble man riding upon an ass or a donkey, not in a royal chariot, not with a regal horse. It's not very intimidating. In fact, it says that the lame and the blind and the children were the ones rallying around Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. How is that in contrast to the Roman generals who were probably intimidating figures? Christ came to introduce a kingdom, not a force and fighting. He came to cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem and the battle bow. And it says, he shall speak peace unto the heathen. He didn't come to execute his former enemies, but he came to speak peace to those who were against him. He came to introduce a kingdom that is unstoppable until it reaches from sea even to sea and from the river even to the ends of the earth. And he initiated in humility. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. I'd like to read the account. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Didn't come with a saddle and the chariot, just put their clothes on the donkey. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. In the Gospel of John, it indicates that at least some of them were palm branches that were being cut down and putting in front of Jesus. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. You know, the needy people came and rallied around Christ, and those are still the people who rally around Christ and follow him, those who see their need. And we proclaim, Hosanna! It's a cry of adoration and acclamation. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And we want to continue to do that. In the account in Luke, it tells us how Christ, as he comes near to Jerusalem, he starts weeping. And he says, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. It's sort of like the peace that you so want, it's within your reach, but you just don't get it. And they miss it. And then he goes on and prophesies how Jerusalem will be destroyed, not leaving one stone upon another. And I think it just saddens the heart of God as he came to provide salvation for mankind and they reject him. And Jesus realizing the destruction that is to come. You know, this procession of Jesus, where the general, our Lord, he was going forth in sacrificial love. And it was a triumphal entry, unlike any other triumphal entry that had been up to that point or ever was. It was introducing a kingdom that was in direct contrast to the way the world looks at triumph. And we continue to worship him and say, Hosanna, blessed is our King, our Lord. And in Revelation, we can continue to proclaim his greatness. In Revelation 7, 9 through 12, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. May we do that as we live this life, in proclaiming his greatness, so that we can do that throughout eternity. Shall we kneel and pray? Thank you, Jesus, for coming and providing salvation for all mankind. You came in a lowly, humble position as a servant and yielded yourself to die for my redemption, for each one of our redemption. Thank you for that gift. And Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And thank you that someday every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory. And Lord, we choose to worship you today, and we want to do that throughout eternity. Thank you for your sacrificial love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.